Two places this morning, 1 Kings 22 and John chapter number 18. Talking to old age, singing that song, sung it all my life, and sung a couple of choruses, and got time to sing the third time, and went plumb blank on one part I was supposed to be singing. First Kings chapter 22, keep your finger, then go over to John chapter number 18. 1 Kings 22 and John 18. If I was to entitle this sermon, I would entitle it, When You're Hated for Truth. Look, if you would, in John chapter 18, verse 37, they brought Jesus before Pilate. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Now, let me stop right there and say this. We've been teaching on the kingdom of God. And this was the purpose of Jesus coming, to be King of kings and Lord of lords. He is a king. But notice what else he says. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the what? Truth. Everyone that is of the what? Truth heareth my voice. You get that? Truth. Look, if you would, in verse 38. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? Let me ask you this morning, turn if you would to 1 Kings 22. Let me ask you, somebody answer. If I was to ask you real quickly, what is truth? What? Jesus said, I am the truth. Right? Thy word is truth. And the Bible says we have three that bear witness: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So there is truth, Jesus, and the Word of God. You know, I heard somebody say this morning, I'm sick of this impeachment hearings, and someone else said, it just makes me so upset. There's a whole lot of talk and very little truth. I'm glad that we have a source of truth. You have the truth within your laps. Now, Jesus told Pilate, those that were of the truth would hear him. Recognize. That's where he said another place in John 10, my sheep hear my voice. They know him. There's a whole lot of people that doesn't know the truth. Now, in 1 Kings 22, we're going to read of a situation that deals with being hated for truth. And let me just relate something to it. Now listen to me, especially you young people, especially you young guys can relate to this. This last week we had a pro basketball player die at age 41. Now let me say this before I say anything else. The Bible says clearly the issues of death is in the hands of God. God can take life. He is the author of life. He is also the administrator of death. He either takes a life or he allows a life to be taken. Satan come to kill and steal. When Job's 10 children was killed, only because God gave Satan permission to kill them. So somebody said it was a tremendous accident. Death is never an accident. Now, sometimes we don't know why God did it and took a life when he took life. But every one of us has been affected in some way when God's taken a life. Some has lost children. Some has lost parents. Some has lost siblings. We all have, and we are affected by death, and we don't know, except we know this, that God has a reason, and sometimes it's far above our pay grade. But during this conversation this week, and everywhere you turn, we heard of Kobe. And I don't take anything away from him. He was one of the greatest basketball players that we've seen. He's a good basketball player. And I've heard the conversation. I've heard it several times in the last few days. Well, because of Kobe's death, now I'm going to give more to being good and going more to charities, and I'm going to go do this and do more. Some people say, well, we're going to pay tribute by scoring 81 points because that was his high game, or we're going to wear 24 on our shoes and 8 on our... Yesterday, Kentucky played. They had 8 and 24 on the back of all their jerseys. But one thing I've missed the conversation. Everyone that dies, regardless of who they are, and by the way, there was more than Kobe that died in the helicopter crash. There was 8 others that died with him. But all 9 of those beckons us to ask, what is truth? What happens when somebody dies? Where do they go? Job says, if a man die, will he live again? Is heaven and hell real? The world hates that conversation because they hate the truth. In a moment, we're going to touch on some things that we're hated for. Those of us who are wanting to preach, the Bible says, preach the word. It's not my job to make it up. It's my job to preach it. If God says there's a hell, there's a hell. I'm not going to explain it away. But let's look just a few moments in 1 Kings 22. Here we have a split kingdom. The 12 tribes are split. 10 in the northern called Israel. 2 in the southern called Judah. Jehoshaphat is king of Judah. He's a good king, but he's a backslidden king. He's making some terrible mistakes. He's fixing to go down. Not only down geography, but also down spiritually. He's going down and he's going to sit down and eat with the king, and he's going to have dinner with the king of Israel. Now, king of Israel is Ahab. Most of you recognize the word King Ahab. He had a wife, famous wife named Jezebel. And, of course, he was a wicked king. Number one, now listen to me, and you young people and the older people who's like, but especially you young people, Jehoshaphat, being a godly king, had no business going to be with an ungodly king like Ahaz. He shouldn't have been there, or Ahab, I'm sorry. He shouldn't have been there to begin with. But he went. And notice if you would in verse number 22. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. Now Israel, again, being the top 10 tribes, and their king was Ahab. And it came to pass in the 3rd year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. In other words, he said, Jehoshaphat come down. And so Ahab concocted a plan. He'd been sitting there in Ramoth of Gilead. There was a balm that was made, a salve that was made, that had great healing powers there, and it was very fertile land. But they'd sat for 3 years and let Syria have control of that area. And so now Jehoshaphat comes down, and he's eating with Ahab. And so Ahab's going to ask him a question. Why don't you go with me to fight Syria? Notice in verse 4. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Will thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art. My people are as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said to the king, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. So what Jehoshaphat said, having a godly side to him, he told Ahab, he said, Before we go down, he said, We're going to inquire of the Lord, see if the Lord's going to be in this thing. Now, the only problem was this. Look in verse 6. And the king of Israel, Ahab, remember, he gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Now, these prophets all preach the same message. It's a message what everybody wants to hear. Now, listen to me. You say, man, God must be in that place over there. They've got 40,000 and 50,000 people going. Most time when you see that, it's because they're being preached a message that everybody wants to hear. They're being told what they want to hear, not what God wants them to hear. And so therefore, I heard one place they run about 50,000 people. And I heard him question one time. They said, Do you believe Jesus is the only way of salvation? He's before the TV cameras and he hummed and hollered and stuttered. He was afraid to say yes. Afraid what would happen to his congregation. Truth. And so Ahab said, No problem. 400 prophets. Come here. Tell Jehoshaphat. Can we win if we go down? Oh, yeah, you're going to win. Now, Jehoshaphat, being a godly king, he wasn't used to that kind of preaching. He won't hear the good stuff. And so the Bible says in verse number 7, and Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? In other words, he said, I ain't used this kind of preaching. I don't like the way they come up with their ideas. And so in verse number 8, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. In other words, Ahab said, Yeah, there is one old prophet over here, but every time he says something about me, it's bad. And I don't like what he says, so I don't even ask his opinion. Ask these 400 people over here. So Jehoshaphat, he decided he did not want to go to battle unless he heard from this Micaiah. And so he sent to Micaiah, and he said, the Bible says in verse 9, that the king of Israel called an officer and said, Hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And so they went to get him, a messenger did. Now the messenger, when he went to Micaiah, in verse 13, the Bible says the messenger that was gone to Micaiah said unto him, saying, Behold now, the words of the prophet declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. So they came, and the messenger went to get him. And he went and told me, Listen, we've done had 400 prophets, and every one of them said something good to the king. When you go get before the king, you need to tell him what he wants to hear. You got to speak as one with these 400. And so Micaiah said this in verse 14. And Micaiah said, As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, That will I speak. Uh-oh. Now, they've done told him, We want you to say this. He said, I'm going to say what the Lord said. Now, let me say this real quickly. There's a whole lot of people doing a whole lot of talking anymore in these days and times. And there's people that's damning people's souls to hell behind pulpits all the time. because they are saying what people wants to hear. Instead of preaching the word, and anymore, when you preach the word, people don't want to come. They want to find some other place to come. They want to find some place. I've had people, I went around visit and invited people to church, and they say this, well, do y'all preach on Wednesday night? Or does kids play? I want a place where my kids can have a good time when they come. I said, well, you'll just have to find another place to come. I said, Wednesday night we have Bible study, we preach. Well, do you have this or you have that? You got this entertainment? I said, listen, all those things are good in places, but it's not good here. When we come together as church, we open the Word of God, we study it, we preach it, we preach what it says. And so, therefore, Micaiah said, I'm just going to preach what the Lord tells me. Doesn't matter what the king said, doesn't matter what the other prophets are saying, I want to tell you what the Lord tells me. Look, if you would, in verse number 15. So he came to the king. And the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? But the only problem was, Micaiah was saying, sarcasm. And so he was being... pulling the king's leg because he knew he'd already been told. Now, when you go before the king, you tell him what the rest of them say. So he says, yeah, go on. You'll prosper. And you know, Ahab knew that wasn't the truth. And so he told him, look if you would, in verse number 16. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? In other words, what he's saying is, he says, I want you to swear to me that what you're telling me is truth. And so Micaiah said this. He said, you want to hear the truth? Now listen. You want to hear the truth? Do you really want to hear the truth? We can say it, and I've just used Kobe. And I don't know Kobe, and I've not been around him. But let me just use him for example. The truth is this, if Kobe didn't have the blood of Jesus applied, he's in hell today. Understand? And not only he, but every woman and man and boy and girl of age accountability that's died without Christ is there. You say, I don't want to think about that. I had a guy one time, he said, I don't want you ever talk to me about hell because I don't like to think about it. I said, I don't like to think about it either, but it doesn't erase the fact that it's there. I preached one time in a Baptist church in Nancy, and a woman come out, and Chris tell you, it's been 30 some years ago, and a woman come out, and she shook my hand, and she said, preacher, that's the first time hell's been mentioned in this church in 9 years. Do I like the thoughts of hell? Absolutely not. But I want you to know something. Saying it ain't so does not make it so, not so. It's still just as hot and alive. And as a matter of fact, Isaiah said in chapter 5 and verse 11 through 14 that hell would enlarge herself. She'd enlarge herself by everything that's going on in these latter days. But let's look on. So the king said, I want you to swear to me that you're telling me the truth. So Micaiah said, you want to hear the truth? Look in verse number 17. He said, in verse 16, he said, tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord. Verse 17, he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? In other words, he said, listen. He said, what I saw, what the Lord showed me was this. When Israel goes out here to battle, they're coming back without their king. And Ahab said, I told you. Of course, he done had it prophesied by Elijah. He done told him that one day the dogs would lick his blood out of the chariot. Not only his, but they licked the blood of his wife too. But you know, Ahab went on believing in his own little world. Everything was okay, doing what he wanted to do. But yet what happened was, here he was told the truth that Israel's going to go out there and they're going to be scattered because they're not going to have their king with them. And so Ahab gets mad at the messenger instead of heeding to the message. Look on what he said in verse number 19. And he said, "Hear thou, therefore, the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on this manner. And there came forth a spirit." Now notice this. "And stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said unto him, Wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a what? A lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, Thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. And now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a what? Lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee." Now get this a minute. Let me show you truth. Somebody said, "Well, I thought God doesn't tempt no man to do evil." He doesn't. But what happens is this. Job lets us in on a secret about the devil and his angels. He talked about this morning where he's a prince of the power of the air. He goes and Job in chapter 1 and chapter 2 revealed to us in verse 10 that the devil and his angels, they had to present themselves before God and answer what they've been doing. And so what they do is they come before God. I don't know how often they come before God. I don't know this, but I know this, that they have to answer to God. And so God's therefore. So now what happens is this. God's up there in heaven and they're fixing to go to war. They're not going to listen to the word of God through the mouth of Micaiah, and they're going to listen to the prophets. And so what God did was this. He said, "Now who'll go and convince the prophets?" And one of the demons of fallen angels said this. It wasn't a good angel that caused him to lie. It's one of the demons. And you know what? The devil's just loving to go, and he loves to tempt us. He loves to deceive us. He loves to do all these things. And what he did is, "I'll go and I'll put a lying message in the mouth of those prophets." Are you hearing? Listen to me, man. Somebody said, "Well, preacher, they quit preaching that stuff anymore, and now they've got all this new message that you're hearing everywhere." Did you ever think that there might be lying spirits filling their mouth with a bunch of lies? The Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." The word does not change. Times change, philosophies change, and even the message that's going to be preached in the latter days is going to change, and we're hearing it right now. And you go in some places and you'll never hear the word hell ever mentioned. But it doesn't change it from being real. Now stay with me a minute. And so what happens is God allows demons to come in and convince people to preach lies. You know why he does? Because that's what people wants to hear. They reject the truth. They don't want the truth. So he said, "Okay, you want the truth?" And how many of the people you ever talked to and try to tell them about how to be saved and what it takes to be saved, and they mock and laugh at you and say, "I'm just as good as the next person." Let me stop just a moment right here and let me share with you a couple things. There are some truths that the world hates. And they hate you when you tell them the truth. Number one, everybody, including everybody here in the whole world, is sinners. You know, there's people that took song books and took songs of the blood, "Such a Worm as I," things like that, out of their books because they didn't want to be claimed as sinners. Now, if you don't like that message, you can go to Joe Osteen this morning, and he'll sit there and he'll tell you what a wonderful thing you are and what a wonderful person you are and how God's just completely delighted with you, with what you do. But that doesn't change the fact we're all sinners. The world has got where it hates the message that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The second message that the world's got where it hates is it hates the truth of the fact that we all must be saved if we're going to heaven. I cannot tell you the hundreds of times somebody comes and says, "Will you preach Daddy's funeral?" I said, "Is Daddy saved?" "Oh, Daddy was a good man." That's not what I ask. Was he saved? "Oh, well, he believed it." I said, "When did he get saved?" "Well, he didn't go to church or nothing, but..." Now you're trying to change scripture. We all must be saved. We must be born again. And except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. My question to you is this: have you ever been born again? The third thing I want you to know, the truth that the world hates today, is there's only one way of being saved. It's by God's grace through faith, and it's not yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, you can't work your way to heaven. You can't persuade those, and there'll be people knock on your door, want to come in and talk to you and tell you how you work your way to heaven. Listen, that's a lie out of hell. There's only one way, by God's grace through faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the word of God is truth. You preach the truth, and that's what saves you. Look here. You know what the truth is? That Jesus, the Son of God, came down from heaven. He died for us upon the cross of Calvary. He took our place. He became the propitiation for our sins. And therefore, we must believe in him. And through him and his shed blood, we are forgiven and we're saved. Unless you're underneath the blood we preached on last week, you're lost. And you know, when Moses told him to put the blood across the door, as I preached last week, it didn't matter who was in the house. The only thing God looked at was the blood. And it doesn't matter who you think you are. And look here, it doesn't matter who Kobe Bryant was, what he did in this life. That I might build monuments here, but on his eternal soul, it doesn't matter one thing except one thing. Did he have the blood applied? No blood, no heaven. No blood, no salvation. And you know what? It doesn't matter with you. If you don't have the blood, you're lost. And so there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Muhammad can't save you. Buddha can't save you. And none of these other things can't save you. One thing, Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man come to the Father but by me. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby ye must be saved. You say, "Well, I believe in God." You don't believe in Jesus, you'll die. "Thou believest in God, thou doest well. Even the devils believe and tremble." Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't also, I told you. Listen, you got to believe in Jesus. What he did upon the cross of Calvary. That's the only way you can be saved. That's why we're not to preach any other gospel but the gospel of Christ. Anyone preach another gospel besides the gospel of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, the fact we're sinners, and he's a son of God come to die for our sins. If we don't preach that, his death, burial, and resurrection, we are doing nothing but lie. And the Bible says that Satan disguises himself as ministers of light, preaching a gospel that is damned, a spirit of Antichrist preaching against the truth. If I had children, I would not be worried about whether they played basketball when they came to church. I'd be worried about what they're hearing. Are they hearing the truth? Something that would save their soul. That would be what I'd be interested in. Because listen, you could be a great basketball player like him. He lived to be 41 years old, had a lot of money, probably more money than any of us ever received in our lifetime, probably all put together. Flew his helicopters, and that's all fine and good. But the question is, was he saved? Without salvation, and everybody must be saved. The fourth thing everybody hates is this, the message. When we are saved, we are to be separate from the world. We are to have stewardship. We are to serve God, worship God. And God teaches us to do certain things for him. And the last message is this. Now, I'll get this and I'll finish this message. The last thing is this. Listen to me. The world hates the message of that there is a hell. They hate it. And you know, can I be honest with you? If I had my druthers, I would rather not ever preach on hell. I would rather not preach and think about people dying and forever suffering in the pits of hell. I hate to think about that. But that will not ever make hell go away. And the world hates that message. That's why a lot of people has quit preaching it. As a matter of fact, you read a bunch of these new contemporary books, everything's on positive preaching. Be positive. But positive preaching does not erase the fact that people dies and goes to hell. How many of you, when you got saved, had hell on your mind? I did. Man, when I heard hell being preached, and I heard I was a sinner, and I heard that Jesus died for my sins, I knew there was only one hope for me, and it wasn't in me. And I was scared to death what would happen if I died before I got saved. Now, I said all that to say this. Let's go back to the story. Look back in your Bibles just a moment. I'm going to finish it up. I want you to see this. Look back in Kings. So what they did was this. Of course, when Micaiah said that, another guy that was standing there, he walked over and he smacked him in the mouth. And they took him and threw him in prison. But you know, just because they threw the messenger in prison did not change the message. Look on. And so what happened is they went out to battle. And so Ahab said, I'll fool, O God. And so what he did to Jehoshaphat, he said, here, you put my clothes on. And he dressed like just a normal person, went out there to battle, where they couldn't recognize him as king. And then the king of Syria told his soldiers, says this, don't worry about who else you kill, but just look for the king of Israel and kill him. And so Ahab said, I'll outsmart God. He said, I wouldn't come back. And so what they did was they saw Jehoshaphat, thought he was Ahab, and here they went chasing after Jehoshaphat. He went running from them and yelling from them that he was, and they recognized that he wasn't king of Israel. But here the king of Israel was hiding. He disguised himself. Nobody knew. But the Bible says, look back in your Bible, I'll let you read it for yourself. Look back in the verse, let me find the verse real quick. Look in verse 34. And a certain man, in verse 33, it said, it came to pass when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harvest. Wherefore he saith unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand, carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. Look on down in verse 37. And so the king what? So the king died and was brought to Samaria. And they buried the king in Samaria, but before they buried, look what else happened. And one washed the chariot of the pool of Samaria, in the pool of Samaria, and the what? What? So King Israel said, I'm going to outsmart God. I'm not going to dress up like the king today. Nobody know who I am. And so he taught Jehoshaphat into wearing his garb. They went chasing him, and they recognized it wasn't him, so they turned around. And so the king was sitting over there saying, and the Bible said, peradventure, in other words, some guy just accidentally, drew his bow back and shot an arrow. Right in the king of Israel's. Not only did he die as God said he would die, God also told him that the dogs would lick his blood out of the chariot. And you know what the dogs did? Now listen to me. You might hate me for the message, but you can't change the truth. And if you died this day in your sins, in hell you'll open your eyes in torments. And there you'll be forever. My friend, God has provided a way that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. God's not willing to see you die that way. But it's your choice. But if you think you're going to outsmart God and you think you're going to change the truth, can I let you in on a little secret? You're a fool. A fool says in his heart there is no God. You might hate the truth, but the truth never changes. And so it's my job to preach the truth. It's your job to preach the truth. And can I tell you a little secret that Jesus told his disciples? The world hated me when I preached it. They'll hate you when you preach it. But it doesn't change the truth. You know the greatest thing that, you know the greatest thing I can do for this boy right here? Is preach the truth. Whether he likes it or doesn't like it, whether he likes me or doesn't like me, if I love him and want his best, I need to tell him the truth. And you hope and pray that they fall in love to find the truth. And let me say something to those of you who are saved. You go running up these places that's positive preaching. And if you're truly saved, it don't take you long to sit there and say, whoa, there is something wrong with this preaching. This ain't what I'm used to hearing. That's because those that are of the truth hears his voice. They know truth when they hear it. Amen. Let's stand. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. My friend, I want you to know this. Jesus died for you just like he died for me, but you must come unto him. Those that come to me, I will in no wise cast out, but you must come to him. Can you go to a place and time in your life? If something was to happen to you today and someone come to me and say, listen, preacher, would you preach their funeral? Could they tell me? And what could they tell others that give hope that you're in heaven? Only one thing. What'd you do with Jesus? Was there a time and place in your life that you could look back and people look back and say, I remember when they walked the aisle. I remember when they asked the Lord to come into their lives and save their soul. Is there a time and place in your life like that? If not, my friend, you better wake up. You can't get away from truth. And truth will not change. How about as we sing?